stories from the kitchen. Kitchen roll from the gutters in podcast form.
Find me cooking finest fishes like I'm living out in Greece. Or catch me at the deli with my bacon, egg, and cheese. Or this is true culinary, this is what's behind the scenes. Cooking in the kitchen, that big money where we eat. Oh,
best dishes, stories from the kitchen. Kitchen roll from the gutters in podcast form.
Who's Hungry Baby, episode 67 of the Rags Dish Podcast. I'm here with you as always, Max Messier Richter. With me as always as well is the great Dan Cotter. Dan, save me from this horrible intro, please.
It's okay, you're doing just fine. Don't worry about it.
Okay, thank you, bud.
I mean, you did say as always twice, but it's okay.
Moving fast, you know.
Yeah. I feel you.
Anyway, today we're here with a great new guest, our friend Carrie Tallman. How are you doing, Carrie?
Good. How are you?
No. Waiting for this applause to come in.
It's been a long time for the applause to kick in. There you go, good fade out.
Yeah, so we're here to talk about the service industry. And Carrie here has been, what did you say, rooted on by your like coworkers to come on the pod?
Yeah, for sure. Once they heard about it, then they know my history. They're like, you got to get on that okay. Right now.
Yeah.
We're going to have to get into that history right now, I guess. So where did you first start in the service industry?
All right. So I'm actually coming up this upcoming year. So 2023 is 10 years in the industry, which doesn't sound like a lot.
Straight? 10 straight?
Yeah. There might have been like a 9-month break during the pandemic, but other than that, I've been there forever.
Yeah.
Damn. Yeah. 10 years in the industry will age you like 20 years.
Yeah.
Well, I think
it's like...
Yeah, I'm getting near 10 years in the industry.
Damn.
Yeah.
Damn, I surpassed you?
Yeah, I had some breaks in my...
All right.
Like when I went to New York, I had a break for a year.
Yeah, New York will do that to you.
And maybe I am 10 years, actually. I don't fucking know. Damn. I'm not. Time, you know.
You're not about...
COVID happened and time doesn't exist anymore, right. So that's it.
You're not about the numbers either,
I'm just here, bro. Time's a circle. It's not a line.
Okay. So where did you first start?
So I actually started at the Crow's Nest in Warwick, which I believe is still seasonal. Wow. It's mainly summertime, and it's exactly what it sounds.
Crow's it's a Nest. Pirate restaurant?
No, believe it or not, but it's in the Appanog, down the hill, and it's where all the elderly people go.
Yeah.
get mussels, lobster, you know, clams and linguine, typical old people food.
They love that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
What did you do there?
So it's funny. So this was my first job. At the same time, I got hired in retail for TJX companies. And I worked 2 weeks there and then I hated it. Then I loved restaurants so much, even that just being for my first job. And I just quit the other one and I stuck with restaurants. And here I am 10 years later.
Damn. What'd you love about the restaurant part of it so much?
I loved how interactive you are with people, but also your coworkers. So like you cheer each other on, even though you might hate each other throughout the shift. So, you know, when you become a server or bartender, it's very competitive and, you know, front of the house hates the back of the house, et cetera, et cetera. But at the end of the day, you leave it all at the door and then you go into work the next day and it's whatever versus a day-to-day salary job or, you know, even retail back to back might carry all that shit over.
Yeah, it's like you're going to war together every day. Like it's like that kind of team building.
But it's also kind of at the same time like high school cliquey drama.
Oh,
Mean Girls type shit. You know? It's
but like that stuff like is great.
Like don't say fetch.
Like,
okay.
Like it sounds like it sucks, but it's like we all loved it in the moment. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well,
it's
listen. Like, a big take that I tell people all the time now is like. Anyone that says that they don't enjoy drama is so full of shit.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Full of fucking shit. Maybe you don't want to be the one directly in the drama, but if you're telling me you don't enjoy hearing the tea about whatever the fuck's going on in your life, you're lying. You're just lying.
I appreciate that take.
Thank you.
That's so true.
Being someone that loves the tea.
Yeah. Speaking of someone that loves drama, yeah.
But so when you first... The Crow's Nest.
Yeah.
What an interesting name. But you know what I just think of? I think of, even though it doesn't make sense, that ride at the carnival as it goes back and forth.
That is the pirate ship.
Yeah, it's like a Viking ship, I think. Yeah.
It is.
But I'm getting my Ultimate Warriors mixed up. But wow. Were you like in high school, were you young or was it like a...
Yeah, so... Okay. And that's what, you know, you talked about 10 years being in the restaurant industry. It does age you, and especially when you start as a teenager first job. And then you work your way through college, whatever, grad school, if you end up doing that, and then you're in the real world and you're still doing it, that's when you're like, wow, I got to hold on. I got to reevaluate my priorities here.
Yeah, definitely.
But yeah, I was 16. I think I just turned 17. And I was just starting to be able to work again. My neighbor, actually, his mom was one of the managers, and he got me the gig. I had no idea what side work was. I was actually thinking about that the other day too. My trainer,
Wait, so were you front of the house?
Yeah. Oh yeah. I was a busser.
Okay. Nice.
And, those moments were some of my most regrettable moments too.
Of like, what, doing side work?
I mean, I didn't know what side work was, which no one knows when they first come on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I remember specifically we had those like, you know, dining rolls or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I was told that you could like eat at the end of the night or whatever you want to do. But throughout the shift, it might've been dead. And, I grabbed a roll and he's like, yeah, you can eat a roll if you'd like. Like the bartender told me that. And I was an idiot and I just didn't have restaurant etiquette. And I just ate it right out on the floor
at the bar, like behind the bar.
Yeah.
Like
I was I was organizing glasses and just ate a roll right in front of everyone. Crumbs falling everywhere. And then the bartender's like, you know, you kind of should probably eat that in the kitchen. And I was just, I was so naive.
That is a good, cause I've honestly never heard that on the pod before, but that is such like a small lesson that like everyone takes for granted. It's like, yeah, you don't eat the food in front of the customers. Like,
and it sounds so
simple.
Yeah.
It sounds simple now, but like, yeah, when you've never done it, I mean, it's totally understandable.
Yeah. And like, looking back, that's where the moments where you kind of cringe and you're like, why the hell am I still in this industry? How did I get here? How am I still here?
I love that. That's funny.
I mean, I feel like I can't think of any off the top of my head, but there's so many little things that you learn in the industry where like, especially when you're first in it, where it's like, you feel like an idiot, but at the same time, it's like, oh yeah, maybe I should have done that. Like,
yeah, maybe I am an idiot. Yeah.
You kind of wince a little bit, and you're like, "Oh God,
I doing?"
Yeah,
and everyone's just watching me eat this piece of bread.
I just imagine like a server going up to a table with like a mouthful.
It's like eating real dry bread.
Oh, sorry, server.
Like walking with like a glass with them.
Excuse me. Oh, just give me a second. Let me finish eating.
Yeah. Honestly, half the guests were probably too blind to see me anyway.
Yeah.
Without their peepers or whatever the fuck they call it.
So you got like a real, real early dinner rush.
Oh yeah. Like 4 PM was prime time dining. Yep. And then you were home by like 9.
That's dope. Like that.
How often were old people just like grabbing you as if you were the waiter and was like, can you get me this?
Oh, I don't even know. I kind of blacked out most of that.
Okay.
Yeah. That time. I was actually only there for maybe a month and a half. And then, cause I grew up in Warwick and then my parents moved to South Kingstown.
Mm-hmm.
And,
shout out to SK.
It's KLD.
You guys from there?
Yeah. Not originally, but high school. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Mm-hmm.
And that's actually where it continued. So I left there, and I didn't want to drive to Warwick in beach traffic and everything every day.
Of course.
So, and actually I'll continue with Crow's Nest in a second, but then I ended up going to the next restaurant and I was hired at dinner. Like on the spot. So that's how the restaurant industry is.
What do you mean?
Is.
Like you were eating dinner there and they were like, hey, you want a job? And
you
were like, yeah, bet.
Yeah, pretty much. And that's how, that's just, a lot of people don't understand that that's how things work.
Yeah.
That you just get hired out of nowhere.
That's nuts. So you got hired while you were there eating and then you came back. Did they throw you a rag right away? And they were like, get to work.
I was offered a paper application. I filled it out with, you know, whatever pen they had in their apron and handed it back to them. They said, all right, the owner will call you in a couple of days. And then I had gotten my next job, my next restaurant gig.
Sweet.
What was it that triggered them to be like, do you want a job?
Pretty much. Well, I had looked around cause I had just moved and I liked the way that the bussers worked. Cause I was kind of on that, I don't know, it seems cliche to say, but like that restaurant high where it's like see it and you're like, I want to keep doing this. And especially when you're a kid and you're starting to make money like that, you take home cash every night. You're like, God, yeah, I'll take this.
Totally.
It's silly. When you're like a teenager and you're coming home with money like that, like I remember like when I was first getting paid up being like, I'm so rich. Like First time I had like $600. I was like, whoa.
Like little raise you get as a kid. Like, you know what I mean? When you're making like minimum wage and they're like, hey, we're going to give you another dollar. And you're like, yes. Like,
oh, that never happened to me.
Oh, okay. Well, sorry.
Damn. That's
well, it. Front of the house, it's all tips. So it's different.
It is. It is. You get like a sub minimum wage, which not the $3.89, which servers get, but like busters get like, what, seven or I don't know what the minimum wage was back then, but like
7.25 or 6.
Today they probably get like 9, right?
Yeah. Well,
what is minimum 10? Wage right now?
I think in Rhode Island, I want to say no. Well, no, federally, yes. I think in Rhode Island, I want to say it's 12.25.
That sounds about right. I stopped keeping track of that because it just never mattered to me when you're in restaurants. Doesn't matter what the minimum wage is anymore.
Yeah. Well, yeah, especially in front of the house.
Oh yeah, it's like
it's just tips.
Yeah, your paycheck was always zero.
Mm-hmm.
So
brutal.
But yeah, so I remember too at the Crow's Nest. Oh my God. We had trays and I will never use trays ever again, especially the long oblong shaped trays.
Like you had trays to run food?
Trays to run food, trays to bus tables. Like you had them on the tray stands. Like this is like Twin Oaks level of like, like you put them on your shoulder.
Like
and
the
you have to
big ass trays.
Oh yeah.
Damn.
And then me being like what 90 pounds and scrawny little 16-year-old kid.
You're like this, like Hercules.
I had no idea how to balance a tray. And I specifically remember at the host stand, there were all these guests right in front. And I was trying to get to the back of the kitchen, had a swinging door, and the swinging door hit my tray.
Oh,
and
fuck.
I lifted it above everyone's heads. And me being 5'2", it all collapsed behind me and glasses fell on everyone's heads.
Oh, my God, no. Dude. That's brutal.
That's a bit of a blunder.
They made you bus with those trays, too?
Oh, yeah.
That's
brutal. You basically, like, load up the tray and then you bring it to the kitchen and then you would, like,
It's like, you know they make tubs for this. They make tubs for busing.
Oh, my God. And the khakis. You wore khakis and a navy polo.
Wow.
Uniforms. Did they provide it for you?
Nope.
Yeah, that's the worst shit. I remember when trifling. I mean, we love to shit on Bucktown here, but I remember working at Bucktown, it was so chill. And then one time they tried to bring up uniforms. They're like, so we're thinking about doing like, you know, this and this. And I was like, I'm not doing it unless you buy it for me.
Oh, that never lasts.
Was it going to be like a pinstripe, like barber quartet?
Yo, so if you want to hear some real,
that's what I pictured.
If like you want to hear some real stupidity, the first uniform that they wanted to do at Bucktown was a Canadian tuxedo.
Yeah,
they wanted everyone in denim, and it was like, bro, do you know how hot it is
in
here? That's
brutal. That's not okay for a kitchen.
And then the second uniform was not; it wasn't ridiculous. It was like a black shirt and like something. But I was just like, dog, like you do not pay me enough. I can't afford to just be buying, you know, 7 days worth of clothes on a whim like that.
Yeah, screw that.
And what a lot of people don't understand too with restaurants, who haven't worked in restaurants, and I mean really any job, but especially when you're really banking on that cash, literally, is that when you have to go out and buy, you know, 5-6 uniforms to last you through the week.
Yeah.
And with what money that you haven't made yet.
Well, I was just going to say, being a somewhat newly appointed bartender, I immediately with the first check balled out on clothes because I was like, I got to look fresh as fuck now.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
There you go.
Got my Tommy Hills rocking, you know.
Really?
Yeah, seriously.
We should go out to the mall together someday.
Dude, I would love that.
Yeah.
Or not the mall. Let's go somewhere like cool.
All right, dude, say no more, bro.
Well, we're going to go to New York.
We'll hit Soho, dude. We'll go to DSM and shit. It'll be great.
Yeah.
Look out for that on the social media, folks. Shopping montage.
At some point.
Anyway, so let's get back to it. So you said you...
So you were in SK.
From the Crow's Nest.
Yeah, so moved down...
To restaurant two that we haven't dropped the name of.
Not yet.
Yeah, you don't need to.
I will.
Okay, okay. Yeah,
sweet.
We're building up.
Okay.
Sweet.
Hey, this is... Okay.
So...
So at this point, are you like... In college?
No. So
you're still in high school?
This was, so I had finished out my junior year of high school at Tollgate.
Wait, so did you graduate from SKHS?
Yes, I did.
Oh, okay. So same. Couple SK alumni in here. I got my 10 year this month.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
You going to go?
Yeah, I think I'm going. Wow. At first I said no, but now I'm like, nah, I kind of want to flex.
Wear some of your nice new clothes.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
You were 13?
12.
Okay. This. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I'm thinking upcoming year.
This
I was
month.
14.
This month. Yeah.
Holy shit.
But you were 2014 and I'm 2012. So I'm trying to
think. 07, baby. Let's go. 07. Yeah, it's cool.
It's okay.
Yeah, Mo, that's it's
the I heard SKH has it hurt up now. All the good teachers left.
Oh, really? It's all a change in administration. Yeah. Like once
and now South Kingstown as a town is having trouble finding kids to like go to school.
Oh yeah.
Like new families moving there. Like it's not kids.
Because it's a college town.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's what it's always been. But it's really becoming a college town now.
Yeah.
But.
Like I remember when I moved to SK, they had like fucking like four different elementary schools, three different middle schools, and now it's like they're having trouble filling all of those schools.
They closed down half the schools because they just can't, and they're trying to build a new high school or something like that because, you know,
I like that high school building, though. It was cool.
So awesome.
It's like three floors, the courtyard, like, you know. I liked high school. Not every year, but I had good times in high school.
Yeah.
You
know
what I mean? I don't miss it.
But, yeah, so basically moved down. This was, in the summer. So Crow's Nest was a month and a half in the summer. Moved down, like, in the heat of August. I saw that. So I went out to eat at this place, yet to be named.
Mm-hmm.
And I was out with my family, and this was when it was a tiny little place. Way before any renovations. This was back in 2013.
Mm-hmm.
And, I looked around. I loved the atmosphere. I liked like how much more busy it was in the summer than the Crow's Nest because there was not just elderly people going out to eat. It was a pretty popular spot. Yeah. And I looked around and like I specifically looked at the bussers, and I feel like that's a habit you get into once you're in the industry whenever you go out to eat, unless you're completely blasted or something like or completely distracted elsewhere. You just look at things and like how the place
operates. Things are operating. Yeah.
So even just like a month into the industry, I was like, I would love to work here because I knew I was moving down. I had no job. I was going to my senior year of high school and I needed some sort of income.
And you're like, this is a cool place to work.
Yeah. I was like, hey, this is pretty close. This seems like pretty busy. I had no idea the legend of this place that was coming onto me.
Sure.
So
I'm trying to think of like, anyway, continue. Sorry. we'll get there.
You're trying to think. And
I'm trying to think of when it opened.
It was probably like early 2000s.
That
seems been
around that
early.
Long?
Yeah, I think honestly, like maybe like 07, 08.
Yeah, that around there makes sense.
Maybe.
I think I'm going to Google it right now.
Yeah.
All right. Well, while he's doing that, you can vamp a little bit and talk about how it was when you started there.
Yeah. So, oh my God, it's funny because like I don't even know if the staff multiplied or it just, the place itself did get bigger.
Mm-hmm.
And I was going to say, if any listeners are wondering, I'm actually curious how long I can string them along until
they figure out what place we're talking about.
I'm very curious.
Yeah,
I will eventually name it, but I'm kind of curious to see.
Yeah. We'll see if they can figure it out before it'll be a fun game for the listeners.
Yeah. But I remember specifically like this was like, so 2013, you know, it's not the restaurants how it is now where everything's on apps, like scheduling and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. You would have like paper schedules, email schedules, texted schedules.
Mm-hmm.
Everything was like just right off the cuff.
Yeah.
But I remember applying, handing in a paper application, like, and places still have those nowadays, honestly.
Mm-hmm. 2009.
Yeah, that's a good
started
guess,
the
too.
Farm in 2002.
Ooh, all right. Okay. Yeah, because their old shirts said the farm, and then they transitioned to the other one. But yeah, so
more hints for the listeners.
That had to have given it away.
I mean, location, part of the name.
Mm-hmm. We'll see. The location, though, I mean, I'm a big hater of that place, but like, such a nice little location.
It's prime.
Yeah.
It's prime for everything. You've got no obstructive view whatsoever.
Got that bridge right there.
Oh, yeah. I jumped off that many times. Nice.
Yep.
That was fun. That badass. Doesn't sound like I have mental issues at all.
Yeah.
But it's more so it was just a celebratory.
It's a very survivable bridge.
They have to put up a sign. There's a sign that says no jumping from bridge because of how fun it is to jump off the bridge. Yeah.
They had that when we were jumping.
Oh, yeah, of course.
We didn't care.
Yeah, because it makes you feel more badass when you do it. You're like, fuck signs.
Yeah. They mainly wanted to do it. They're like, don't scare away the customers. And we're like,
Yeah.
Except stop signs. Stop signs are good.
Yeah.
Yeah, we stand a stop sign. All right, so you started there as a busser?
Yep, that's pretty much your starting point.
Mm-hmm.
They called them hosts, actually.
What year was this?
This was 13. 2013?
Yeah. Okay, so you're like, that's like the heart of its like busyness, I feel
It was like before it was like passe, like it was like still a hip new place rather than being like the heavily established place that it is now.
It was like its first. Yeah, like
it was like Public Enemy right after Fight the Power came out.
Yeah, dude.
Like they had already been established, but now it's like, okay, this place is really popping. Like,
okay, yeah, this is legendary shit right here.
Yeah. People were like fighting, actually fighting to get into this place.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Do you remember any fights? You want to get into that?
Honestly, I think I might have been in the back probably just picking up broken glass.
Yeah.
Was that place always valet?
Yeah. As far as I can remember. They switched places over the past few years, depending on whatever became convenient to them. And obviously the parking situation changed on many different levels. So, and I'll get into a lot of that about.
How much money do you tip a valet?
I think the standard is like you got to give a minimum of 5.
I'd say that, yeah. Don't give them less than that. Other than that, then they end up the shit ton of ones.
I haven't had a car valeted, I don't think, ever.
Well, you ain't living then, baby.
Do you think that they have like a Venmo that you can just be like, yeah, real quick?
I feel like there would probably be company policies against that.
If like I was, probably if have I was like, valeting, I'd be like, here's my Venmo. If you don't
I bet the valet company has like tip pooling policies. And if you were to be like, here's my personal Venmo, if you want to tip me, hit my personal Venmo, the valet company would be like, yo, that's not cool.
Yeah, because there was the Valet Connection, which I don't know if that still exists.
Mm-hmm. What does that mean?
The Valet Connection. It was like in Rhode Island. It was
is that the company? Like
union? Yeah, that was the
the Valet Union. It's like a Curb Enthusiasm episode.
So that was like the company you used, or like?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, at the time, I think you know what?
I never knew that it was like an outside valet company that they used.
I think now that I think about it, when I first started, I feel like I was a baby when I first started there, but. When I first started, it was like the same three guys. So I think he found like a solid crew and then needed more people as he expanded. And then, resorted, adding me more money, resorted to an actual valet company.
Like a third party company. Yeah.
And then they could have a rotating staff. Cause like that's 7 days a week of valeting. Like that's a lot.
Yeah. Fuck that.
I got a question for you now that'll turn up the heat a little bit.
All right.
What was it like when you first met the owner?
He was very hands-on, and like I think he still is to this day. I haven't gone back to dine there in a while, but I think
there this summer actually. I went.
Yeah,
it was not.
Yeah. We've had people come on here and speak quite highly of him as like a business person, and like speak about his hands-onness and like.
Well, it's clear that the dude knows how to run a successful business.
Oh yeah,
I guess.
I mean, I would say he's done more than. Succeed, you know what I mean?
Yeah, he's thriving.
But I've also heard other things off the air that I just makes me question his leadership for sure.
Of course.
Yeah, the inside info is interesting too.
Yeah,
we'll see if what I can.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. But so like when you first worked there, it was very much like because like I mean, so the last time I went there was like in June, and it's just like there's just so many fucking people working there at once. Yeah. You know what I mean? There's so many different things going on that like
the number of positions is insane.
Yeah, it's just crazy to think of like you're like owner to management to employee relationships being so tight, but it seems like they were there.
Oh, yeah. Like, I know there was a former employee who actually got married in the past few years. And, like, pretty much that whole, I don't want to say clique because it's not, that sounds negative, but that whole group of friends and they're.
They've gone on, like, vacation together. So it's like.
But they all went down and had that wedding. It was, like, a destination wedding and stuff. And, like, everyone saw it. Like, anyone who's been followers of.
The mob crew?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I just dropped it. I mean, I could bleep it if we need to,
save the reveal for later.
All right. No, you're good. But yeah, like pretty much it is a pretty much tight, like, cause like, again, this was in the peak. Like it was in its first, first peak.
Yeah. I know what you mean.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
The first wave.
It's like
of success.
It's like the first time that Bitcoin, like really just like, everyone's like, whoa.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was pretty much like, everyone was working 7 days a week. 12 to 13.
Making bank.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just ridiculous hours. Obviously working 70, 80 hours a week, and like no one cared. Everyone was making money, mm-hmm. and everyone, like you said, going into war together and leaving at the end of the day.
And you're
going
young
out.
And spry.
Okay. And there's some expo juice.
Yeah.
I don't know. Honestly, like from my experience working anywhere, not just in kitchens, it's like 40 hours is totally doable. I wish it was 30 hours.
Mm-hmm.
50 hours is still doable. 60 hours is where you start to like
lose it
a you're little like, bit. And I'm once working. You get to 70, 80, it's like this is extremely unhealthy.
You're just like a
extremely
machine.
Extremely unhealthy. You're like 60 is unhealthy, but like I think the most I think I've said it on the pod. I think I did like 81 hours one week and it was the worst week of my life. Like,
dude,
the money was sick.
But, 60, you know, 60 yeah. is like you're still sane. But you're like really pushing to the limit. Once you're 70, 80, it's like you got that 1,000-yard stare.
Yeah,
you
know,
like a fucking soldier with PTSD.
And I feel like I've like been cocky at jobs before and been like, I could do 60, no fucking problem. And I do. And then it's like the fourth week of doing 60 and you're like, okay, I actually can.
You're like,
okay,
yeah.
I've done this for a month. I need to go down to like 42.
You're like, I'm ruining every relationship in my life.
But my rent's paid off for like the next 3 months.
Yeah. That's like... When you start hitting those hours too, that's when you start like hand washing your uniforms in the sink, hoping they will dry overnight.
Yeah,
because you have absolutely no time to sit and wait for a wash to go through.
You're like, wait, it's August? I thought it was like 4th of July.
Yeah. Like, after 4th of July, it just flies, but it also feels like it drags.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At the same time somehow.
Yeah.
You get that one slow day that doesn't make sense in the summer and you're just like, what's going on?
Yeah, you're like, is this...
Is it over?
Twilight Zone? I don't know.
Glitch? Yeah, is this a glitch in the Matrix?
But yeah, so I'd say... wait, prompt the question. Sorry, I have no idea.
So where'd you move to from busing? Like what other stations did you work there?
All right, yeah. So you pretty much start as host. They label you as host. And then there was like head host or head hostess,
mm-hmm.
God forbid. And that's the person who's on book. And on book is when... In the front of the house, it's the person going through all the reservations. And
I've seen this happen in the restaurant too. You're describing it well. Okay, go.
At the time, this is where like buzzers and paper, like handwritten names, phone numbers, mm-hmm. and like that buzzer with the charger and everything, that was a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it was absolutely insane.
Yeah.
But yeah, you started as host, which was essentially bussers. And then you know, if you proved good enough people skills, then they might, and you know, prove to be attractive enough.
Mm-hmm.
You work your way up to head host, head hostess, and then you have that solid position for a while. And then when you, and most of the hosts are like high school, college age. And then mm-hmm. when either you feel comfortable or, you know, you're begged to start serving, then you worked your way to cocktail waitress. You do that for a little bit. Everyone who train, not only like people who move up, but people who come in from other restaurants who have been servers, you start as a cocktail waiter or waitress. You do that shift for a bit.
Are you just running drinks when you're a cocktail waitress? Like, is that basically that?
Drinks and apps. And it was like, at the time, it was all just gravel. No tables. It was just people just standing and mm-hmm. eating like oysters and shrimp just out of their hands.
Yeah. Damn.
So... It was wild. And I just remember like that whole setup at the time too. It was like clown tents. Like it wasn't the mm-hmm. great structure it is now.
Yeah.
You literally every morning we put out tents and eventually we got branded tents, but it was like circus tents.
Yeah. It's just like, how can we monetize every inch of this property? Like where is the border of our property? How many tables can we fit under? How many tents? Like where can we just fit people?
I remember the first few summers I worked there, it rained all the time. This is when it, you know, used to rain in New England. And
yeah.
Oh, wow.
Before the dry times.
Before the grass was yellow.
Pretty much every day of the summer. But mm-hmm. I remember like, you know, those white tents, they cave in obviously with rain. Mm-hmm, so then every now and then you just have to go behind a guest and say, can you just scoot your chair in a little bit?
And
so
just,
I can
like,
just
push the water pocket.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
And you feel a splash. And like at the time, guests were so desperate to get in the restaurant. They're like, I don't care if I get a little rain on me. They had no standards whatsoever of service.
Dude, I feel that. It's like people are just, I feel so lucky to just get a table here. Like
I remember specifically too, this is when I was between like, I guess, busser and like head host. Mm-hmm. The head host at the time, he was helping set up tents, and we had a line out the door, like out the parking lot, all the way down the road. And these people were first in line. They're like, we drove 6 hours to try this place. And you're not, and like, we were still putting the tents up. Like we, it was, I think the place opened at what, 11 or something like that. Mm-hmm. It was like maybe 10, 15. And they were demanding to sit down and get service. And they're like, we drove all this way for this. And I don't know if they drove in one morning or if they drove the day before, but I was like, all right, comment. Like, just yeah. Like, we're not, as you open. Can see, we're still setting up. You don't even have a chair available for you.
Go chill on the bridge.
It's like a not a reasonable request.
But it was nuts. People were just desperate to even say they went there. Doesn't matter, like, if they just grabbed a drink and they left, just to say that they went to this one
place.
It
was so hip.
Am I tripping to say that, like, oysters, in a way, were like a fad?
I don't,
like, I feel like oyster bars in general just like didn't exist, and now oysters are just everywhere.
Well, I mean, raw bar being part of like a fancy restaurant's menu, I think, is like a staple, especially around New England, where it's like, you know, you go to a Twin Oaks or like a fancy steakhouse, it's like they're going to have a raw bar where you can get like oysters and shit and clams.
Nowadays, okay.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
But back then, it was kind of a rarity.
Yeah.
I feel like back then too, this was like the peak of, or the beginning of the peak of rosé. So ooh, like oysters and rosé, that was the go-to combo.
Okay.
Sounds so good right now.
Hey, on a hot day like today. Oh yeah, my God. Right? Yeah.
Love some oysters and rosé.
Oh my God. But yeah.
So you eventually moved up to serving there, huh?
Did you move up fast? I was going to ask, did you fuck with being like the head girl in charge, like being the head, because it seems like the head, what was the position?
Head hostess.
Yeah.
Was like the one just like, all right, y'all are doing my bidding right now.
Pretty much. It was because like tables were such, like, you know, tables at this restaurant were such a hot commodity, I guess you could say at the time. It's like people were just literally like fighting. They're like, well, no, I came here first. Like, I we had a preference, inside, outside, or first available.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it was just a madhouse. So like being head hostess, I think one time I screwed up and like I put someone as like they wanted outside. So then everyone else who had first available went before them, and she came up and she was raging mad at me, and she was with her son. Their son was super embarrassed, but she was just screaming at me, and I, like, me being a 17-year-old mm-hmm. kid, I was like, I have no idea. I was like, I'm so sorry. I was like, I felt like I was gonna cry.
Yeah,
you get like petrified kind of when like that happens.
I've talked about it before, but it's fucked up that it's like the youngest people at a restaurant will be doing like the host station, which is like it's the source of so much ire from people when they like just get so mad, and then it's like they're screaming at a teenager.
Yeah, but it's also like, you know, it's, I feel like it's kind of good for the kid to learn how to deal with people,
bro.
And it's like, it's also like, how mad can you get at a child?
That's a throw the baby in the deep end, and if it swims, it's only gonna make it stronger. Like, yeah, take logic.
Well, you know, it's more just like you gotta be there in case it doesn't swim. You know?
But I don't think they're there.
That's like, you know, the waitress should have that.
It builds character.
Or, you know, I'm talking in like a basic restaurant. The waitress should have the hostess's back or whatever. I don't.
Oh, yeah. That. Management should.
Mm-hmm. We're talking about like a, like, the, you know how in Stranger Things, like the first bad guy is like human size, and now it's like the size of the fucking horse.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, I don't know. What are they called?
Demogorgons?
Dude. Demogorgons. Yeah. I keep wanting to say xenomorph, but that's not the same thing.
You're mixing your IP.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, like I, like, and it, now I think about it, like, it is kind of weird to like go up to this, you know, hot restaurant and see kids kind of running the place.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, there's an outdoor bar and there's, you know, experienced bartenders and everything, but like your first impression, and restaurants always stress this, is the host, the first person that greets you. So when you have a bunch of kids doing it, and like, again, it builds character, you learn really fast. Like, mm-hmm. you learn from your mistakes. And you learn, all right, like, I can't do that shit again.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I got, you have to be as professional as possible, but at the same time, you also have to survive the shift.
Mm-hmm. So that's why a lot of people quit right away in the industry, too.
Yeah.
Like they get that because
they're just
day
like, and fuck
it's like, oh yeah, I can't do this. No, okay,
bye. Oh yeah, and my coworkers at the restaurant I currently work at, they were telling me today, they're like, you know, honestly, I think like for 3 months, everyone should work in the industry just for 3 months.
Yeah, everyone should get a taste of.
I'd say like- six, but yeah.
Well, it depends how often for the 3 months too. If it's like a few days a week, I'd say like, and also like everyone should work both front and back of house because like people,
it's true.
They yeah. watched The Bear on Hulu and they think that they know everything about restaurants. I'm like, that's just scratching the surface.
Yeah. Yeah. That's like, yeah. You put it
well, yeah. But yeah, I mean, people should do it so that like they know how to treat people with some respect. Like, I mean, and also I think like what you're saying about people working front and back of the house is so true because it's like, it's good to have people that work in the back of the house that understand the plight of the people in the front of the house and vice versa. It's just like, I can't cook this any faster. You understand that. And they understand like this, the cook has to understand that the server's like, I got to say something to these people. Like I can't go out there without the thing that they're waiting for. You know what I mean? Like,
it's it's the same thing when like everyone says that the best waiters and bartenders are back of the house people because they already know how everything
they converted
operates,
into front of the house. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Because yeah. if they can translate kitchen speak to the guest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
cool. I mean, I'd argue a lot of restaurants that cross train people like succeed because it's just like it's good to have backup. Like, oh, yeah. The waitress is out. This prep cook has like a shirt in his locker and like yeah. knows the menu and can do that job or okay. vice versa too.
Yeah. So pretty much going back to like moving up. So after you, at some point, if they think you're a strong enough support, they'll move you to food running. And I think food running is the sweet spot.
Yeah.
Food running is above cocktail waitress.
No, it's right below. That's okay. It's between busing like support. And
I would love to make like a whole like
oh god
a
yeah.
flow chart
yeah yeah
I need like there's a ladder
yeah sure
and then the top of the ladder is real estate because that's where all the servers end up going at the end of their
yeah
okay. yeah
that's funny
but yeah so I feel like food running is that sweet spot where it's like you understand how the back of the house runs for the most part
yeah
because you see it you're standing in the kitchen there but you also have to communicate with the front of the house staff and guests. To be like, hey, this is what's going on. Like, sorry, like, you know, like a ticket might come up and you can say, can I start running this? And say like 6 out of 8 items are up. But if those other 2 items take another 5-10 minutes, yeah. you kind of screwed
if
up.
If it was a steak that was just
it.
Dropped or something. Yeah. Yeah. Then you fucked up by starting to run it.
Yeah. Cause then, you know, people think, okay, yeah, it maybe took like, you know, 20 minutes or so to get your food together, but it only takes the guests maybe 10 to eat.
Yeah.
So if they're like, oh, yeah, you know, the back of the house is like, oh, maybe another 10 minutes. Like, well, then they're going to be done.
That's an eternity for the people. Yeah. Like, yeah. So it's true because it's like cooks will just be like, this food is dying in the window. Get it out of here. But you can't get it out if, like you're saying, like you're still waiting on the rest of the table and it's going to be 10 minutes. It's like, I feel like cooks need to have more understanding
yeah.
at times where it's like, you know, we can think of examples of good front of the house people because they're like former cooks that moved to the front of the house. I can't think of a hell of a lot of examples of former front of the house people that went to be cooks. So it seems like a lot of people in the back of the house lack that understanding of like how it goes out front.
Yeah. And like, again, like I said, it's important to relay all of this information, but not like overload the guests and be like, oh, so like the steak just dropped. It's going to be another 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And, like the fries are being, you know, dropped right now for the second time. And you're like, I got to just simplify this and yeah. tell them like, it's going to be X amount of time. Mm-hmm. We're so sorry. Can I, you know, and then you communicate with the waitress. This is what's going on. We just might communicate with the manager said, hey, let me offer you a round of drinks. And then it's anything to keep the guests happy mm-hmm. at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
100%.
Yeah. And then after food running, and I remember too, I think I was like maybe 18 or 19 at this time. And you know, this restaurant didn't require you to be 21 to serve. Now most restaurants do.
Really?
Yeah. Because it's like, you got to know what you're talking about. You got to mm-hmm. know what beer you're talking about. You got, especially like wine pairings and stuff like
tasting,
that.
Tasting, tasting, mm-hmm. tasting.
Yes, of course.
Yes. Oh my God. Emphasis on that. All the like the classes that you take too. It's just like you have to know and like mm-hmm. you have to know what someone's limit is and stuff. You can't be a kid just walking in just because you've worked yeah. in restaurants for X amount of years.
It's true.
But I remember when I was like 18 or 19, we had a solid food running crew, honestly. It was, I think we called ourselves the Core Four. It was so stupid.
Wow, that's good though.
Yankee fans, all of you?
No.
Wow.
Were you Andy Pettit?
That's funny.
But the like Core Four. Every time there was a major holiday or something, like the four of us were asked to always be on.
They were just like, all right, yeah, we're bringing in the A team, basically.
Pretty much. And it's hard to believe that like you needed four food runners, but like you would see the schedule like Friday, Saturday, four food runners always.
Sounds good.
Because, and like there were two shifts, an AM and a PM. And a lot of people don't understand that there's two shifts. Even if you work a double, there's still a halfway point where there's new, you know, turnover coming in.
Yeah.
So there might be this lag in service for a little bit around the 3 or 4 p.m. mark.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. We know all about that one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because it's just, it's a switchover.
I think for us it was 2 to 3, but yeah.
Yeah. Oh,
God.
So you were a server there how long?
I was a server there, I'd say, for about maybe, oh, God. It's all blurring together the time.
Well, just how much time did you spend there in general, not just like as a server?
I'd say 4 summers, I think. But I count it by summer too. I was talking to someone about this recently because even though you're there year round, you like, it's like, you know, it's like World War I, II, III, IV. Like you're in the service the entire time, but those are specific monumental times. So you kind of like, oh, this was the 4th summer that I've been here because of the fourth.
It's like your 4th tour.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Literally.
But I think in the last year and maybe year and a half or so, I was a server. And especially when they start you like as your, this is your first serving position. Yeah. They start you with like 3 tables and then they move you eventually to your 5 or 6 table section.
So how many people are getting tipped out along this line?
Oh, dude, you have no idea.
Just like everyone. Yeah. Okay.
This is so back when I first started, they had like little, what are those, like the envelopes that come in the newspapers that you would tip your delivery boy every Christmas or whatever it was, like the tiny little like coin envelopes.
Yeah, sure. Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's where we got our tips. And like, because this was before like all the stuff went in your check and everything, because you got an hourly wage, but all of the cash tips went right into these little envelopes and every server would fill one out for every busser. And I think like, I don't even know how many we'd have on at a time. Like maybe 10, 6 to 10, depending on the night and depending on the shift. Mm-hmm. But every server pretty much tipped them out in little envelopes. They put them in your folder in the back. And I remember this was like a trailer in the back. Like this office was, it was completely different from the front of the house and how it looked. Mm-hmm. And you would go in after like a whole weekend forgetting your tips and you'd walk out with like a bag full of these little envelopes because it was just, and they were chunky because they were 5, you know, like $15 in ones.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you'd have a ton of them.
Oh my God. Yeah. I paid for my prom ticket in all ones and people started to question what I did for work. So
That's awesome.
Prom ticket in all ones. That's so funny.
51, baby.
That's so funny.
I kept the line. I held the line up a little bit there because I had to count them all, but, it was nuts those first few years. And then eventually I think it died down definitely after I was there, but you know, all the kids in my year, we actually all went to high school the same graduating year. So when we had our high school graduation, we all had to take the night off. So there was very little support.
Mm-hmm.
And then eventually, you know, we trickled back in for the summer. People moved on, people moved up. And then you had that like fresh group of servers.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like this is where a lot of things went wrong because where there were a lot of unnecessary firings happening with younger servers because they didn't live up to the standard, possibly.
All right, well, let's get into this a little bit.
What standard do you mean?
One story that I have heard out of, which I think it's hilarious personally. Someone that I used to be friends with worked there for like a short ass period of time as, I think he was a shucker, but he literally apparently bumped into Perry. Literally just bumped into him, like not even like a big bump, like a little thing. And Perry turned around and was like, "You don't apologize?" And he was like, "Sorry." And he just fired him. He's like, "You're fired."
What? Yo.
Yeah, just literally fired him for not apologizing for bumping into him.
Does this sound like a realistic story to you?
Yes, but also I've seen some people
like bump him on purpose.
No, but some people have done crazy shit and they were still employed for
I'm aware of that as like well. What? But
so I remember this one, I think he was a barback and he was there long before I was, and then he wasn't there. Mm-hmm. Sure. So the parking situation at the time, we would park at Perry's house. Mm-hmm. And then he used to this is before we got a traffic detail down there. He used to take us in the cops.
He lives over there?
Yeah, he lives right before the exit.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, but yeah.
Yeah, sorry, I'm saying this as if you used to know this shit. He lives right before the exit, and that's where the farm is, like the oyster farm and the vegetable farm, everything.
So would he just bus everyone over there?
Yeah, so he took everyone in the back of family's truck, in the back of his truck, and we would just sit, no seatbelts on, load as many people as possible, and we'd drive down. I think one day, once we got the cops, giving us direction, they were like, all right, you can't be going on the highway for even like 2 seconds and then down this road without any seatbelts, people just hanging out the back. So then the employees started doing the carpooling, and this one barback, I guess ran one of the carpools, and you would carpool down to the marina across the street, which now is like employee parking. Mm-hmm. But you would like pack your cars in tight, and I guess he was drunk like before, like driving everyone down, and he was so drunk.
This is drunk on his way into work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
He was so drunk that he couldn't clock in.
Really? Like he didn't have his number, or he physically?
He couldn't physically. He didn't know how to clock in. That's how drunk he was.
Wow.
So then we didn't see him ever again. I saw him working at a Panera.
Jeez. Get fired for that. Didn't get fired for being too drunk to work.
I want to try to pull juicier shit out. So, I mean, let me know if you don't want to talk about any of this, or we could just cut it out. But, I mean, like, we were just talking about working 80 fucking hours and how it's fucking impossible. And it seems like everyone there was doing that because everyone there was making absolute fucking bank, especially probably when you were working, because we said that's like the peak, right? Coming from a restaurant where there's a lot of drug use, like how early on into working there did you see people doing cocaine?
You know, I think I was too innocent to see that at the time, to be honest.
Yeah, okay.
But they're like overworking, I remember this one waitress, it was like the week before she went back to school, and she like went back to school in like South Carolina or something, so it wasn't far, but she had to pack her shit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I remember her just saying, she was like, I leave for school tomorrow, and this is my sixth double in a row.
Savage.
Yo.
Or I guess I would say.
That's fucking insane. That's not healthy.
Dude, but Brett, but that chingo, dude. Money talks. Chasing that money, yeah.
I felt so bad. Like, we all felt bad, but none of us could help because we were all also on our sixth double
of
the week.
Yeah.
Same. Damn, that's brutal.
I just remember, like, without putting any names out there, like, servers and bartenders there just, like, being so overwhelmed with how much money they were making. Like,
oh, God, yeah.
I mean, like, I always say this, too. Like, the best restaurant to go get a job at is one that just opened because they're making a ton of fucking money. Mm-hmm. But that place was just making money still is, honestly.
Yeah.
Making money hand over fucking fist.
Oh, God, yeah.
And, you know.
It's got to be great to, like, be, like, oh, it's not great for you when you're, like, oh, we're, like, I just got off work, going out to the bar with all my coworkers. Oops, I spent, like, $150 at the bar. Don't matter. I'm still going home with, like, over $200 from my shift. Like, you can blow so much money at the bar and still be going home with so much money in your pocket.
Dude, like, you made stupid amount of money.
Yeah.
Like, I remember it, too. So, the system we used at the time, now everything is like Posi Touch or Toast or whatever it is. But mm-hmm. at the time, I think it was like Aloha or something, which is like very ancient. Like
an early POS.
Yeah, very, very, Aloha. Very, very old, early on. But I remember, and this is where it got really toxic, is that like you could see who had the highest sales.
Oh, man, it's like laser tag. You're like, yo, how the fuck is she making all those tips right now?
Oh, my God. And it was the same waitress every time. She was a good-ass waitress. Mm-hmm. But, like, everyone, it was never a surprise when she was at the top. But, like, I remember, like, when I first started serving, like, my sales were, like, relatively low because I didn't know how to sell. I remember just that people would ask, what's the specials? And we had a little, like, special thing on the table. Well, don't you kind of have to?
Don't you kind of? You wouldn't be like, the lobster is so good. No,
I was like, here's your specials right here.
Yeah, you got to learn to sell that expensive shit.
Well, so like as a server there, like you, I mean, I don't know, but did you have to like kind of fight with the other servers for positioning? You know what I mean? Because like obviously like that most experienced server that's been there the longest and I don't know, maybe the person in charge thinks does the best is going to get the best section or tables. Oh, yeah. You know what I mean?
So like that was, I feel like it was by default. And like at the time, you know, I had just started serving. So it was like, it was a massive restaurant. It was just chaotic. So I didn't really feel like I had any power to like try to negotiate anything.
You were kind of just happy to be there.
Exactly. Yeah. Just like all the customers, you know, sure. Happy as a seagull. But I was just like, all right, I'm making some money.
Yeah.
Like it is what it is.
Happy after, as a seagull.
Yeah, there you go. What is it? Happy as a clam? What the fuck am I saying?
I don't know. I like that though.
I don't
like,
know. Yeah,
seagulls be like fucking always happy. They eat good.
I feel like they're pissed off all the time. Not gonna lie.
Happy as a seagull always, in the McDonald's parking lot.
I will say
lot.
They're always like stalking, no doubt. Always stalking. Yeah. They're always like, yo, this guy's got something in his pocket. He might drop like a cheese doodle or something.
Yes, you do. Seagulls do be like that.
Oh my God. But yeah, no. So like, I feel like, you know, the top servers would always get the best sections. And I think, too, I remember seeing, like, a paper schedule go out. And, like, this is when, like, yeah, when it was posted, like, you would run to it and take a photo with your phone. Mm-hmm. Because, like, there was no, like, I don't know, hot schedules or whatever systems people use nowadays.
Yeah.
It was just, like, so, and I remember, like, it was, like, notes. There was a section. So, like, request offs, time, like, time off, and also notes. And there was one, like, servers would say, like, doubled only. Or, like, some of the notes would say, like, Friday, Saturday, doubles, please. Or, like, only PM shifts. And then, like, some would say, like they, I don't know, it would just be, like, patio only. Like, they knew that, like, you would make money on the patio. So that they were, like, patio only. Like,
now, was there favoritism going on?
Oh, yeah. For sure.
I mean, another thing that we'll see how deep we can get into that. Rumors that have circulated to myself is that
things that have come across your desk.
Yeah, you know, my secretary has brought some things to me over the years about just like kind of like relationships affecting the way game plans were rolled out. How does that sound good? That kind of like that. I feel like fucking Bill Belichick out here.
What is that over here? Yeah, I can confirm. It didn't happen to me because I felt like I was this like innocent kid, just not in loop of anything.
Yeah, sure. You were making good money no matter what. You're probably making good money as like the first position when you got there. You know what I mean? Oh, you're probably hyped now just to be a cocktail or food runner.
Oh,
core four. I mean,
yeah,
come
part
on.
Of the core
you're
four.
Being praised part of the core four.
Also, I feel like too, and like there was favoritism in like, yeah, if you were attractive, you worked the Newport Folk Fest. You worked the Charleston Seafood Fest. Mm-hmm. You worked like you were always in the front of the house on the patio where the guests could see you. And the people who were regulars, they came back. And this is another thing, too, that a lot of people don't know. And again, now it might be different. I don't know if it stands, you know, stands time still. But at the time, you could not say your name. You could not introduce yourself. Because you were supposed to be like kind of.
He didn't want you getting poached.
You, well, like not even that, but you just like, they didn't want regulars saying like, oh, I want Sam or oh, I want Meg.
Yo,
poaching
is real in this industry.
It is.
Like,
it really
motherfuckers
is.
Come up into your restaurant and they're like, hey, like, they treat you good over there. And then they're like, you want to come work over here? It's like, hit you up if I get fired.
This is like the Marines or something where they don't let you refer to yourself by name in the Marines. Like, they're like, you have to say this Marine. Yeah. So you're like, go to the this Marine will be your server today. Can this Marine start you off with anything to drink?
Why is war like a common theme right now?
I know, right? It really damn. Is. It just shows you what the environment's like. So hold on. Can we get into this whole...
What, war?
Yeah.
This impending war.
What is it good for? In my opinion, absolutely nothing. So,
you know, that's a really good point.
Thank you. I think I'm ready to talk about it.
Money.
So, Well, can we get into this?
Talk about money?
Favoritism based on attractiveness. I want to know
the relationship aspect.
How does this take shape? Because, all right, so you said favoritism is taking place. I'm assuming this is by the head host person or head busser.
Well, I mean, she already said that if you're hot, you're succeeding.
Yeah, but who's in charge of that?
Who's ranking?
Who is deciding that you're getting this shift because you're hot or not?
Just management. So, yeah. I mean, managers, filtered in and out throughout the years. Mm-hmm. But, and I don't know if, Perry had a say in the schedules. I don't know really what happened in the office. But I do know is that the same people would be out pretty much in the front every single time, having mm-hmm. the same shifts and everything, which again, if they could sell it, that's why they were out there.
Yeah.
But it also was, it did suck. And even when I was support, that I would always see the same people on the inside. And some servers didn't want to be in the weeds out there. Some servers want a nice small section on the inside. And they're like, you know what? I'm here. This is their second job. They're like, I'm fine being inside, taking just four tables. Shmoozing, and that's it. And yep.
Yeah.
A couple two tops and a four top.
We call that, the Emily Burns. On this show, the Emily Burns.
Oh, do we? I guess.
I mean, no, we don't. But Emily was just known for just being a schmoozer,
Well, she was a schmoozer.
Approach to waitressing.
I don't think Emily was ever being don't give me all the tables. I think Emily was being I'll take my share.
Okay, that is true.
But she knew how to milk her customers.
Okay, I guess I'm more talking about just the relaxed approach.
She was a smooth talker.
Wait staff.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Not saying Emily took it on too. She worked them Friday nights.
But yeah, I could see it was your second job. Some service would just be like, you know what? Just give me the easy section. That's not going to make hella money, but or it's not going to cause me hella stress.
Give me Thursday, Friday instead of Friday, Saturday. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And if they don't get, if they don't have the highest sales, they're like, it is what it is. At least I'm here making money. You're going to make money no matter where you
are. I'm picturing a cartoon version of Mob where there's just an ugly section where there's a bunch where it's always raining, thundering.
Oh,
and
to the back. Yeah.
Deck is not taken care of.
Yeah. I feel
that's a really accurate depiction too.
There is one.
It's Logan's Run or some shit. Where there's the lesser class of people.
Yeah.
They're not even allowed to wear colors.
Have you seen that Curb Your Enthusiasm episode?
No.
There's one where he's going to this restaurant.
Ugly people are in the back and all the nice people are in front of the window.
Yeah, yeah. And he's like, why are we in this section? He's like, there's no reason. It's Nick Kroll who's the waiter. He's like,
You have
us in the ugly section. And he gets in this whole thing. He's like, doesn't exist. And then he catches him. It's so watch.
What a great episode. Yeah, that's been our review.
Yeah.
Amazing. So let's get into also, did you see, you mentioned or one of you guys mentioned the interpersonal relationships causing biases. Did you have people dating each other and it was okay, the head host is dating someone. So then they're showing favoritism to people and stuff like that.
So I specifically, again, all the hosts were pretty much college or more on the young crowd mm-hmm. and the career waitresses were the ones making the money.
Yeah.
So then that was that crew that was different age levels.
Sure.
So I feel
also, I mean, let's put it out here now. Working in the industry, it's bound to happen.
Oh, yeah. People date each other all the time in the industry. It's how it goes, but it's
a rocky road once it gets rocky. You know what I mean?
It's tough too. So.
Oh, yeah. I think, again, when I was a kid, kid, because I essentially was, but being a kid in that part of the industry, you don't see that until you're actually in the servers and then you maybe age a few years and then mm-hmm. you're in it and you're I now see mm-hmm. what everybody's so hush-hush about and why this server doesn't talk to this server.
Yeah.
Because from, a busser's perspective or just a kid's perspective, you have no idea what's going on.
Yeah.
You're they just maybe don't get along well or something.
Yeah, it's they used to bang.
Yeah.
that's the problem.
But yeah, I think maybe...
You're right. Headphones falling off. That it was good timing, Decot. Well put.
But different, it wouldn't be just servers and other servers, but it's servers and bartenders, servers and shuckers, servers and valet, mm-hmm. servers and sometimes even food runners who were trying to make their way up.
Yep.
That's how it was.
So the food, at the core four was trying to move up.
No.
I'm not saying you. I'm saying possibly someone in the core four.
You know, honestly, I wouldn't.
You don't have to rat out the core four.
I never knew. I was just an innocent kid. I went to work. I made money. I went home.
I mean, so you worked there for what, 4 years, you said?
Yeah.
And four tours. You worked like four different positions, essentially?
Yeah. So I was
So every tour, they moved you up?
You're squad leader now.
Pretty much. Yeah. No, I started as busser, then head hostess. That was very short-lived because then I moved to food running because I just didn't like dealing with the front of the house, like mm-hmm. guests immediately. Sure. I was like, I'd rather drop off their food and they're happy to see me.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Maybe you're like getting them like, some ketchup or some.
Food running's fun too because it's like you're kind of like constantly on a mission and then like returning home base and then like, all right, out on the mission for returning home base, you know?
Yeah.
And it was actually kind of like friendly competition to see who could carry the most plates because at one point there was this one server too. And I honestly, we respected the shit out of her. She was such a badass. She is such a badass. She carried four plates, so two in each arm.
That's pretty sick.
I don't know how she did it. I remember she would just say like, can you just put this in my arm? And then she would drop off one while like holding the other against her body.
I've seen four plates on one arm. I mean, shout out Christina Matuza. I mean, like you can have like the two fanned out on like your hand and then one on the arm and then one higher up the arm. But having two in each hand seems like
I think it has to do with the distance you're walking.
The whole reason you put four plates on one arm is so that you can carry only one plate with the other arm. So you can put that down easily and then like remove everything from your arm with that free hand. But when you have like multiple plates, like how do you put down two plates at the same time?
Imagine if someone was like just so into the industry that they got like second arms attached to their body.
They got Dexter Jetster surgery.
They were so serious about it. They were like, I need like new surgical arms. So they were just like, yeah, I'm the ultimate waiter or waitress.
Hi, my name is Dr. Otto Octavius and I'll be your server tonight. Can I start you off with something to drink? Can I start you off with the power of the sun in the palm of your hand?
Oh, man.
Shout out Alfred Molina. Anyway.
But I remember.
Sorry. What are you sorry about?
Nothing. I regret nothing.
Perry's arms were so jacked. Oh, not necessarily, but like they were just so wide. He would just load seven stuffies because they were single stuffies.
He's a stout individual.
Yeah, he is very small, but built, no doubt.
We stand a short king on this podcast and he's probably.
I don't know if I stand him, but.
He's the king of the short kings. Like. For real.
In Southern Rhode Island, sure.
Yeah, no doubt.
Honestly, he was the goat when it came to, like, he brought girls in, and they all look the same, but he brought girls in on dates. Like, at the end of the night, he would bring, like,
own restaurant?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
He would have, like, a little two-top to himself, just him and whoever he was seeing at the time.
He's like the Drake of South Kingstown.
Did he have to specifically get the servers that he wasn't also dating to be his server?
Oh, my God.
Literally, he's Drake.
Well, I feel like
he's Drake because he's sliding into Millie Bobby Brown's DMs when she's 15. That's him. Oh. Yeah,
he's fucking Matunic Drake.
I feel like it's like Kanye with Julia Fox.
Yeah,
wait, how old is Julia Fox?
She was like, what, 27?
She was pretty young back, didn't they mess around for a while? Like, oh no, that was more recent.
I'm not sure.
I don't know.
The Millie Bobby Brown thing is like more. She was like 15.
It's
one thing if you're like in your like late 20s.
Then he's like, yeah, I'm gonna reach out to Billie Eilish, just let her know if she needs anything. It's like, he's like, bro, can you talk to anybody whose age doesn't start with a one, bro? Like, come on.
Did you see the whole thing with Ice Spice? Oh, wait, you just found out about Ice Spice. Well, never mind.
Oh, dude.
So Drake flew Ice Spice out to Toronto, and I don't think Ice Spice let Drake hit. Yeah. And now Drake, like, unfollowed her. Like, they don't have a song together or anything.
Yeah. He's like, if you want this verse, then, you know. Anyway, fuck Drake. We're an anti-Drake podcast.
Yeah, but I fuck with 21 Savage.
Yeah, of course. Yeah,
all day.
So... you didn't answer the question. Did he have to request a server that he wasn't sleeping with?
Well, now that I think about it, he did sit on the inside sections, and those were the servers that just didn't really care. Yeah. So now everything comes into perspective.
Yeah. It really makes sense now.
But every time you did bring someone in, it was always kind of like hush hush. And like for my group of like age group, we're like, oh, like this is so cool. Like Perry's bringing in dates.
The core four?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I think like on the other level of waitresses, they were probably like, oh, it was a lot juicier gossip, which I never heard anything about because my innocent ears just blocked it all out. Mm-hmm. And it was just so different to see that age difference.
I got a question. when he came in to eat at his own restaurant, if anything got fucked up, did he make a big deal about it?
I never knew.
I feel like you got to be chill, right? You got to be just like, if you're a good boss, you got to be like, all right, like, you know, this, whatever.
It's understandable to.
My steak's a little overcooked.
I think it's like if you legitimately get bad food at your own restaurant, you absolutely should let the people know, hey, dude, what the fuck? Like, if you're serving me an overcooked steak, what the fuck are you doing to the people that aren't your boss? You know what I mean? I feel like you do have to say something.
What do you think like the health approach should do that? But not at the moment, though.
What I would
it's
say.
Like the next day you here, pull that cook aside or something.
No, you got to do it in the moment. But what I'm saying.
You think you have to do it in the moment?
You have to say something. But what I'm saying is, I think what you're bringing up is like, if the dude is just trying to complain to like flex to his date, like to swing his dick around and be like, you know, this soup is too wet and like freak out about something, like to just be mad, you know, this ice cream is too cold, like just freak out like as a flex, then yeah, that's not cool. But like you can't let yourself get served shitty food.
Okay, but like
and not be like, okay, bro, but shitty, is this what you're serving to everybody?
Shitty and a mistake are two different things. Like if he asked for like Negroni on the rocks and he got it up.
Yeah, that's
like he can't bug about that.
Yeah. As long as you're making that good Negroni. Look at you. You making Negronis now for people?
Yeah, all the time. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, the hipsters love the Negronis.
No, it's all the Game of Thrones people.
Oh, yeah, because yeah, Darcy.
They're hot right now. Negroni, Emma Darcy said
that, well, yeah, she likes the Negroni, but she gets it with Prosecco. Do you have to make it that way?
Oh, yeah.
Instead of gin, right?
Yes. Or vodka. You can do both.
It's Prosecco. Yeah, it's Prosecco instead of gin.
Yeah, she gets it with Prosecco. Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of fire, not going to lie.
Negronis are really bomb, the normal way.
The Prosecco one's pretty fire, too.
You got to have that kick from the drink.
I'm not going to front. And honestly, just the drink looks cool because it's red. So it's just like.
Judge Caprio's son always ordered that one at Coast Guard House, which is the other place.
A Negroni. Oh, okay. So you went from one.
What a transition.
Yeah. Well, there was a corporate place in the middle, Applebee's. Oh. That was
interesting.
I was desperate.
Yeah.
I mean, hey, no judgment. Applebee's fucks.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about your let's talk about your departure. How'd you leave the mob?
So I think this is when it started to get
blood in, blood out.
Honestly, too, there are many times that
just
like,
sign a waiver.
We would like there was a lot of like I don't even want to say injuries because like that just sounds bad. But like this is when it was starting to get really big, and that I think that. It was too big for anyone to absorb because this was, I think, the second wave when it really started to hit like that, like, because we expanded, we built the second floor and that's when everyone was like, oh my God, it just got bigger, better. Yeah. It got like a glass enclosure outside, no more circus tents. Like it's stepping its game up. It's reinvesting in itself.
Sure.
So like, let's see this. Let's see what it has to offer now. Is the menu going to be bigger, better, things like that. And This is when I was like, I think 2021, somewhere around there. And like, I ended up, I was so tired of like, changing out the glass racks, and then my arms gave out, an entire rack Holy of glasses shit. Fell on my head in the kitchen. And it just sounded so terrible.
That's heavy too.
Oh yeah. And I remember Perry actually took me out back. Cause like I was full of like, glass shatters everything, and he's like, oh, I'll hold you down and everything. And like, we're all wearing, you know, black shirts, and it was like, it was fine. And he didn't know that he had it on.
Wait, they
like,
were dirty glasses?
Yeah. And like, because like there was wine all over me, sure, you know, things sure. like that. Okay. They're like, he's like, you need to like hose down everything. And he didn't know he had the power setting on, so I had like these tiny shards of glass just going into my skin, and I was like, please, Perry, please. He's like, I'm so sorry.
He's just like power hosing the fucking.
He jet streamed. He didn't have it on shower.
Oh jeez.
Oh, it was so bad. But that's
wild.
Power washing the shards into your skull or whatever.
Oh, it was so.
That's
bad.
Brutal.
It was like all on my chest because at that point in time, long gone were the V-necks and now are the scoop neck shirts. In
wow.
Okay.
How are those?
Oh, I made the mistake one time. I was cocktail waitressing. It was raining. I didn't wear an undershirt under the shirt itself.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember I was wearing like this red bra and something pulled my shirt down. And I think for a solid half hour and no one told me, I was greeting guests with half my bra out.
What? No one told you?
Nope.
That's brutal. That's awful. Yeah.
But I don't think anyone had time to notice.
But even like a customer at a table, like, yeah.
Maybe they thought this is just the way.
Oh. Maybe they were there for dinner at a show. I don't know.
You never know.
Yeah.
That's fucking brutal.
But I ended up
leaving. How mortifying.
I know. I ended up leaving because
of that.
You're sick of it. Yeah,
mortified. No, I think it had gotten to the point where it had just gotten too big. Management had gotten a little out of control, and this was nothing that really anyone could control. It was just, it was like just massive amounts of people just coming to the restaurant,
mm-hmm. yeah.
and us not knowing what to do about it. Yeah, and it's like we were trying to, you know, tame the flames, but it just kept growing bigger and bigger, and it was just swallowing us up.
Jeez.
So I think this was a time too where.
Stranger Things season 3. Now yeah. it's like the size of the fucking.
Yeah, yeah.
No, that was the worst season.
But like people there even like got their own oyster farms and shit after that, right?
Yeah.
Like it like really expanded even past its own business.
So I think yeah, cuz one of the bartenders ended up opening up East Beach Blondes, I think, or well, maybe it was something else. I
don't know.
Remember.
I know a hazy amount about what happened over there.
Yeah. I think, and this was actually when oyster farm like robbery was happening. I don't know if you
people
remember.
Were just oh, robbing yeah. oysters from people's oyster farms.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
That was fucking
that's wild.
Cute. It's crazy. But yeah, so I remember this trio of sisters and they were kind of like the original like support staff and they moved up to serving
mm-hmm.
and they were fired for various reasons, but none of us
wait, really, all three?
They're
like the whole family's got
to
go.
No, so it's tough because they provided oysters to the oyster bar too, like on occasion.
Yeah, yeah.
And then one was fired because she made a mistake. I think she forgot to put in someone's order. Like it was a large party, and she forgot to ring in like a tuna or something like that, which can come up relatively easy, especially if it's just seared.
Sure.
And.
Or the worst is when you ring something up and forget to hit send, and then you come back and you're like, fuck, I didn't send that.
Oh, that happened the other day.
So wait, this person got fired because they served a table and they forgot one of the customer's dishes?
Yeah.
Like, did they put it in late and get it to them late?
She, like, verbalized to the kitchen. She's like, I need a tuna on the fly, which, again, since it was such a repetitive menu, and mm-hmm. in a good way, though, like,
it's that
like,
you could just take somebody else's tuna.
Yeah, and be like, just sell it to another table, you know, mm-hmm. just, you know, grab it from that. But
yeah.
I don't know if there were other mistakes. There might have been, because they had just started serving and stuff, but they were young. And then, from what I heard, he fired one, and then since they were all sisters, they're like, well, if you're going... Then we're all going.
Damn.
And so I don't know what happened after that, but I remember one of the sisters, she had spilled a glass of wine on a guest. It was red wine. And, you know, it was accidental. People understand that.
I've heard people do that to babies and still have a job.
I dropped drawn butter in some guest's purse and I never told her.
Yeah.
And you shouldn't have.
Drawn butter.
You should have, but I don't know. At the same time.
Into the purse. That's so awesome.
And it solidified hours.
Was it
later.
Like a nice bag too?
Oh God, yeah.
She probably went in there and was like, what's up with my hand cream? Like, yeah. What, did something pop?
My hand cream exploded all over my Prada bag.
I felt terrible about that. Smells like butter. Never told her though. Never told anyone. At one point I like moved a chair and I like hit someone in the head. There's a lot of things that I never told management about that I did that I just hoped would not get me fired.
Well, yeah. I feel like they shouldn't get you fired. Those little things
should. Front of the house when you fuck up. On the floor, like, I feel like the best thing you can do is just, like, pretend it didn't happen and keep going. You know what I mean? Like, anytime I've, like, messed up, like, saying something or, like, I don't know. Like, last week, someone had already told me where they were from, and I asked again. They're like, we already told you. I was like, okay. So, and just like move right past it. Worst thing you do is just like dwell on that mistake, you know?
Yeah.
Also, like, even like, maybe it's just the environment I work in now, but just like, just owning that mistake too and being like, I'm sorry. Like, I didn't know what I was just saying, and I just said two different sentences at the same time. Yeah. Let me rewind, and like, and it gives you like more humility.
Yeah.
Whereas, it's like, when it's very professional, it's like you feel like a robot in a way.
Yeah.
But, no. So she had messed up. She spilled a glass of wine. She came back. She felt terrible. She was crying, and all the waitresses were trying to help her. Like, you know, like, it's okay. Like, you're still, you know, you're learning. It's a mistake, and the guest wasn't mad. And I guess she was, and Perry never yelled. I do have to give him that. He never yelled, but he did talk firmly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's more scary than getting yelled at, to be honest. I feel
you. Well, cause in a lot of ways, like, yelling is like, you know,
it's emotions.
Once someone's yelling.
Yeah. Like you're the one that's blowing your composure. When, so like you're the one that's.
When they're yelling, they become the dick, where it's just the like, okay, I fucked up, but you're making a big scene out of it. Yeah, and now exactly. You look ridiculous.
Yeah, yeah. Now you're the one fucking up.
But if they are just talking sternly to you, then you're still the fuck up.
Yeah.
I had fucked up at one point. My coworker and I, like, you know, we were like just messing around and stuff like that, just having fun at work. And I think he went to go pick me up, and I was an idiot. And this was when I was like still a busser. And I yelled out, and like, you can bleep this out if like it doesn't fit the podcast, but I was like, I don't know, but I yelled out, in a kidding way, I was like, rape, rape.
No.
And
when this kid, after getting in this kid's car?
No, this was a different time. Like we were all like friendly coworkers. Like,
oh, just hanging out sometime?
No. Like I actually like at work, like, you know, like a friendly banter back and forth, mm-hmm. You're friends with someone at work.
Sure.
Like,
and you're just fucking around.
Yeah. You're just, fucking around at work. And he lifted me up or something like that. And I kind of yelled those words.
Oh man.
Oh boy.
And this was like right at the entrance of the kitchen where guests could probably hear me.
Ooh.
Yeah.
And then I remember Perry coming over to me, and I deserved this. And I was just an idiot. And I was like, oh, like, I felt so humiliated afterwards. But he's like, you realize what you just yelled.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, I fucked up. I'm sorry.
Dude, that's so embarrassing. I used to get yelled at for yelling too loud from the expo station at the establishment.
Man, I loved it, though. It was great.
The whole dining room could hear the dumb shit I was yelling. It was embarrassing.
Oh, yeah, God. But like, I feel like at the establishment, like, there were times where like, the kitchen entertained the fucking guests there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, think about it. If you wanted to sit on the back patio, you walked through the kitchen.
Yeah, and everybody's like, look
at this like green smoothie.
Yeah. Do you have anything else you want to tell us about the mob?
Kind of curious, actually. No.
You were like, in a way, like kind of just like a fly on the wall there, it sounds like.
Yeah. Weren't involved with any of that juicy shit.
No, I think because I saw like what could possibly happen, I just didn't want to get involved. Mm. I was just there to make money.
Yeah.
I had a whole separate life. Like that wasn't my life essentially. Sure. But then the next restaurant I moved on to, that was pretty much my life because that was my income. Mm-hmm. And that's where you started making.
Well, friends. Also it sounds like when you started at the mob, you were underage still, right?
Yeah, I was. I think I was. I just turned.
So it's not like you were going out to the bar with everyone.
No.
You know what I mean? Yeah. It's not like on that same level of like camaraderie, I guess.
But I realized too, like, you know, throughout the years when I became a server that, I mean, we brought underage support staff with us out to Chop House or out to George's. You'd sneak them in. Like, I know you had to, like, some of them had, like, X's on their hands or whatever it was. Whatever the mark
George's,
was.
You barely have to sneak them
yeah.
in.
No. But, like, you climb the gate and that's it, maybe.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like, we would always, like, bring people in. Chop House never ID'd anyone. Mm-hmm. So you just, that was the place that you
could get. Because it's like, oh, here's the Oyster Bar crew. Yeah. We don't need to ID them. They're here every week or every day.
Yeah,
and you don't question it because you'll lose business.
Yeah.
Because you don't fuck with the mob, bro.
You don't fuck with the mob.
But it's funny, Chop House, you'd see like the mob and you'd see Coast Guard House and you see all those big name restaurants.
Sure.
Come out to work, for drinks on a Monday night because Monday night was always industry night. So in the summer it was George's with the volleyball, and then in the wintertime it moved to Chop House.
Yeah, we had great nights at the Slop House.
I never really did, but I had good nights at George's.
Oh, I fell down the stairs many times at George's.
Yeah, that's great. Classic.
Let's get into it. No, I'm just kidding. I'm trying to think if I have any other questions about the Matunic Oyster Bar.
Oh, shit.
Big reveal.
No, I don't know. So you went to Applebee's, you went to Coast Guard House.
Yeah.
At what point did you get up to, do you live up in Providence now?
Yeah, I live in East Prov.
Sick.
Yeah. I don't know. I've lived all around. I lived in New Bedford, Mass. I lived in Attleboro, Mass. Because I used to be a reporter over there.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then I came back, and when I got my salaried job and everything, I was like, I remember turning in my apron and my, like, all my server stuff to my server friends who were career servers. And I was like, take it. And they're like, are you sure you don't want to keep it? And I was like, I'm never going back to Russia.
You're like turning in your badge and gun.
Yeah, pretty much. And then 9 months later, I was like, hey.
They brought me back in.
I'm back.
I need that apron back.
I mean, I guess we should ask some of the classic questions, right?
Sure.
All right.
I mean, you got some glass on you, but like, did you get any like bad injuries ever, like working in the industry, or witness bad injuries happen?
Oh yeah. I mean, so everyone who's run food or like has some involvement in the back of the house.
Yeah.
They have burns on their arms.
Oh yeah. Yeah, sure.
Like, and people, I mean, I'm trying to, oh yeah. A
lot of mine have faded. Yeah. You're a bartender now. You ain't got no burns.
No, I have cuts.
Oh yeah, glass cuts when you're polishing glasses, or just, you know, a bottle just breaks in your hand.
Luckily that has not happened. I broke a beer glass and picking it up, I got a couple of cuts, but ooh. Yeah. That's great. It ain't no big
thing. I'm sorry to hear that, honey.
I'm wicked tough, so.
Yeah, you're pretty hard.
I like watch hockey and stuff.
Too. Yeah, not compensating for anything. So what have you seen? You seen any blood hit the floor?
Oh yeah, I mean, so any when blood I... hit the floor? I'm sure my blood is all over that restaurant, to be honest. But like, I mean, like, you know, in any, most restaurants, front of the house, like nice places where you don't wear sneakers and stuff, you'll wear the clogs,
mm-hmm.
mules, stuff like that. And like, those are like a solid, like 2 inches off the ground.
Oh yeah.
So when you turn a corner, especially at Matunic, went before the current state now, you would like turn a corner very sharply. And like the amount of times I rolled my ankle.
Oh yeah. Oh. Those shoes seem like they're built for rolling ankles.
Oh, that's terrible. But I mean, like, as far as like actual accidents, besides the car running into the restaurant itself a few years ago.
Yes.
We talked about that one on here.
Oh God. That was,
that's kind of the most nuts you can see for injuries is a car drove into the goddamn restaurant.
But, I think like my friend, she felt when we put up the second floor, those steps were pretty steep and we didn't have a dumbwaiter. So like when you're running food after a 12-hour shift, your arms are dead at the end of the night.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think she had fallen down the stairs with a tray of glasses, and same thing with her. She got hosed down the back. We just didn't have just good protocols.
Perry's like, I gotta get the hose again.
But some days some days it was rough because you'd work a 12-hour shift in the sun, especially when it was really hot. And I remember this one waitress, she was like throwing up behind the bar, behind the restaurant, like behind the, you know, food mm-hmm. storage. And I remember just Perry handing her a pint of, you know, like, well, not the pint, the quart of water. And just, he's like, just drink this and get back out there. And that's just how it was. Like, that's not just specific to that place, but like that's how it is in restaurants mm-hmm. like that are that busy in the peak of summer.
It's like how the NFL is with concussions. Like, just get back
let's
out there.
Let's go.
We got to sell
sweep
some
it under the table.
Yeah. You it's hear fine. That Goodell skewered on the Rags to Dishes podcast. Yeah,
listen, Tua, please just retire.
Yeah, Tua. He's on my fantasy team though.
For your own sake.
Yeah. And then, I think there was a couple times. I think there was one time when I was at Coast Guard House, worked the brunch shift, the dreaded brunch shift, and we had to be in at like 8:45 and in order to get parking on a Sunday.
Brunch is so
in the
fucked.
Summer. Seriously.
It's just it's the worst.
It's funny how it's like for customers, brunch is like the best thing ever. Like, yeah, you know,
I know.
When you love brunch, you're just like, brunch is just the best.
It's like, I'm
go with my
hungover,
friends.
It's day drinking. I want hash and mimosa.
Yeah, it's like, how can I combine like the best meal of the day, breakfast, with drinking?
I'll tell you too, living on the West End over here, Now my new days off are Sunday, Monday all the time. And some Sundays I wake up and I'm like, I just want to like go get a coffee, you know? And I like go down Broadway and it's just like, can't now. No,
it's just packed.
Every single place I'm waiting at least like 25.
But yeah, it's like for customers is the best thing ever. But for people that work brunch shifts, it's just the worst.
It's a culture. Like it's literally like, it's like there's a certain uniform for brunch. Mm-hmm. There's a certain time you show up for brunch, a certain number of people. And mm-hmm. like if you order like something like as easy as like scrambled eggs, it's like, oh no, like why are you doing that? We're out for brunch.
Yeah, you need an eggs benedict. Like yeah. you need something more complicated.
And bottomless mimosas.
Yes. Yes. God, I love the bottomless mimosas.
I hate people who order bottomless mimosas. I'm so sorry. I worked a brunch shift today. It's terrible.
Oh, sounds brutal. And the entitlement from that crowd. Ooh.
Oh, God,
well, I mean, it's a pretty privileged crowd.
Yep.
Let's go there. If you think about it, like, because, like, that's why, like, I don't like going out to brunch. I like going out to diners. Because mm-hmm. you go out to diners, you get a number one, whatever it is. You order from, like, a neon, like, a neon sign on the wall. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's also, I feel like the thing, I'm a big diner guy right here. I think the thing with diners, too, is it's like, I feel like the earlier you get to a diner, the better your meal is going to be. So it's like, all right, how early can I get to the diner? Like if you go to, I'm not going to call out any diners actually, but if you go to a diner at like 7:30 and they open at 7, like the coffee just got brewed.
Oh yeah.
The home fries are just getting cooked. They haven't been sitting there the whole time. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? If you go to a diner at like noon, food's not going to be that great.
Things are 86. Yeah, like it does exactly. like nothing. Yeah.
They're,
no
they're probably closing
shit.
At 1 and you yeah. got to get out of there soon anyway.
They're
you
mentally I mean? Checked out.
Brunch, however, is like more expensive. You're not getting that number 9 for like $7. You yeah. know what I mean?
And people expect like dinner quality service.
Yeah. At yeah. Totally.
10 a.m.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, exactly. I don't.
Yo,
I deliver.
Just woke up.
Yeah, yeah. There's a difference between a breakfast server and like a dinner server, you know?
Yeah.
Like the breakfast diners are used to just like, what do you want? All right, cool. Like they got a butt hanging out of their like mouth while they're
filling your coffee, even though you didn't ask for
yeah,
it.
Yeah, exactly.
And typically like the Sunday brunch servers are they call them clopeners.
Oh so yeah, clopens.
Okay. So people who closed on Saturday night.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe skipped out on side work so they could go out. And then they wake up on Sunday hungover from going out. And then they come in and they're like.
Oh, then they remember they have to do all their side work that they didn't do the night before.
I used to do that in Expo all the time.
Yes.
I'll just show up like an hour early. I'll clock in. And then I'll cut everything up. And then I'm just like, fuck. Oh, God.
You're like, who the fuck closed last night? And you're like, oh, it was me.
Yeah. Classic.
Fucking shit. Don't miss that. I don't miss myself fucking myself over like
well,
that.
Well, I think as a 28-year-old now, I rarely do it. Where when I was like 19, it was like every fucking shift.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I'm going out and partying. Fuck this.
Yeah.
Or even if you weren't opening the next day, you're like, I don't care.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, like, I would say, like, post age 25, I'm like, I kind of care. I'll go out, but I'm going to finish my job first.
Yeah. When you're young, you're like, there's no way I'm going to face the consequences of these actions. Yeah. And then the next day, you're like, fuck.
I have to face the consequences.
Ugh.
Man. How about worst customers?
Yeah. Do you have any particularly juicy customer stories?
So at Matunic, we carried both Rhode Island, which is clear chowder. And New England.
Yo. Oh, boy.
Which is creamy.
No Manhattan?
So, oh, no. Wow, God,
they don't,
no,
they don't respect
that.
New York in here? Okay, fine.
Yeah, no, we don't.
Okay, well, New York is better than Rhode Island chowder. Let's get that down right
you
there.
You think the
obviously,
Manhattan
clam
chowder
obviously,
has more flavor.
Obviously, New England clam chowder is the GOAT. There's no, like, there's no real argument. But the red is the next best.
Oh, yeah.
Especially if it's done right.
To each their own.
So I remember when I was food running, this woman and I had just a cup of clear chowder. And it, like, again, since it's broth-based, it's much more easy to spill over.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And, like, half the time when it got to the table, when you're carrying 4 cups of chowder, like, three in one hand, one in the other, it's going to be on the napkin that sits between the cup and the saucer itself.
Yeah.
But I remember this one woman, she was such a bitch. She looked directly in my eye. And she said, you'd better not spill that on me.
What?
She's like, don't you dare drop anything on me, especially that soup. And I was like, I am...
I'm like, try my best.
Like, so, I'm not going to spill soup on you. Yeah.
It's like, I don't even know who you are.
Do like, I look like a schlemiel to you?
Do I look like I have some sort of condition where my hands just shake randomly?
Yeah.
That's
what the fuck is that called?
I mean, it's like,
do I look like, what's his name? Marty McFly.
Oh honey.
Parkinson's.
So you're disease. Thinking of Parkinson's.
What's his name?
Marty McFly?
Yeah, the actor.
Oh. You're wow, you're causing me to like an
I suck, bro. He's got a great Curb Your Enthusiasm episode too.
I do love that Steven episode.
Something?
Why am I blanking right now?
Look it up.
So no, I don't want to. I don't want it to come to me naturally. Let's keep talking.
Wow, this is embarrassing.
I mean, like, do you think for the most part, I mean, it seems like you've worked in a bunch of places, but like one is obviously the Goliath. Do you think people treated you better there because it was more of a hyped up restaurant?
No. Or
worse, because they expected more out of you?
They expected more, but honestly too, because they weren't coming in to have a nice sit down. Well, okay, I don't want to, you know, generalize, but like most people, especially when it was hyped up, they weren't coming in to just have a nice sit down meal. They were coming in to chew and screw pretty much and not literally like not pay, but just like come in, get a bite, say they were here, post a pic and then leave.
Yeah.
So they didn't care about like how they treated servers and stuff like that. They didn't care. They got what they wanted and they left versus like,
I mean, to be fair, like, you know, I don't want to like just sit here and like trash food at a restaurant. Like I think their food is super overhyped, but the oysters are amazing. So, like, if you're going there for oysters and shrimp cocktail and, like, a drink, dope. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And, like, so, like, when I worked at Coast Guard House, we offered oysters, but that wasn't our focus. Like, the shuckers for Edmonton Oyster Bar were out front. They made tips. Yep. They're there. They are, that is the show for the dinner and the show.
Yeah.
And they interact with the customers, and that's why they extended the bar so large. But now, I mean, you know, at Coast Guard House, shuckers are in the back. I used to shuck. And on occasion, and like I wouldn't make any tips. You made back of the house pay.
Oh, brutal!
And like I was wearing like shorts and a t-shirt. Like you weren't wearing uniform or anything like that. Mm-hmm. It's so different. And Coast Guard House's focus is the seafood itself, also the view, because like you're literally, it's a restaurant built in the middle of the ocean.
Yeah.
So like that's why that's what you're paying for. And the food is really good at Matunic and Coast Guard, but the focus of Matunic is the oysters, and the focus of Coast Guard is the view.
Yeah.
So it just depends on.
I've always felt like Coast Guard, the food is mediocre because it's like once you've got in the door, their job is done. Like, it's like you're coming for the view and like, that's it. Like, it's like they don't, it like the food could be shit there. There's never going to go out of business because people are always going to go there for that view. Like,
oh yeah. They go for the view and the service, because that's why, like, it's funny. If you look at like reviews of, you know, Matunic versus Coast Guard House, you'll see reviews about the food on Matunic, but you'll see the reviews about the view on, you know, on Coast Guard. So you'll say, you know, they'll be like, service was great, view was great, food was okay.
Yeah.
But they still get
because
5 stars.
They can, because it doesn't matter what the food's like when you have a view like that.
And I think the view and Matunic is just an added bonus. I mean, like, you've seen a lot of proposals there. You see, like, I mean, just like every photo is usually a sunset pic about, you know, on the patio or something like that. Mm-hmm. And that's just, you know, that
location. It's all about. You don't need to have a good idea if you have a good location.
Straight up.
Not to say that any of these are bad ideas, but I'm just saying. You could open any restaurant in that exact location. It's going to do well.
Okay, yeah.
Same with the establishment, so.
Straight up.
I'm trying to think if I have any more injuries or anything. Oh, actually, the brunch shift at Coast Guard. I forgot to elaborate on that. My bad. We just got on a tangent on that.
Dude, go for it.
I think.
Back to brunch.
Yeah, I think so. I was the only probably not hungover person this one particular brunch. Every other one, I definitely was hungover. And I was doing everything. You had a bunch of opening side work. You had to make butter. So Coast Guard House, we make our butter in house. Like we use like unsalted butter, but like our honey butter, which is like our like signature thing.
Mm-hmm.
We make that ourselves and the servers put it on. And like, so I was doing that. I was cutting fruit. I was like starting everything, opening. Everyone else was late for the day.
Of course.
It was very stressful,
but
I
knew. You started your serving day whipping butter? That's interesting.
Yeah. That's the first thing you do when you walk in because it takes the longest. That's why. But I remember I was so tired and I had a sharp knife and I was cutting lemons and I slit my finger.
Ooh, what the lemon juice.
Yeah.
Yikes.
I've never passed out and I began to see stars and the sous chef immediately brought a chair over and she
was like sit for a sec.
Thankfully she had like EMT experience, so she knew what she was doing. Like she got me like butterfly stitches until I get to the hospital.
Flex.
But once I got to the hospital and they're like, all right, this is going to sting. It's some like, you know, alcohol, whatever, peroxide to clean it. And she put my finger in. She's like, why are you not screaming? And I was like, do you realize I was cutting lemons?
Yeah. Like it's already clean.
I was like, the pain is already gone.
Yeah.
But I know like one of the expos, he had to stay out for a month or so because he like accidentally slid his hand down a knife.
Oh, Max can't handle that.
I really can't.
Too much?
Yeah, I don't know. I get...
You gonna get shook up?
I get queasy about...
Like your boy Michael J. Fox?
Just like blood stuff. And no, actually everything. Like, hey, there you go.
You're welcome.
There you go. That's such a good fucking Curb Enthusiasm episode.
It is, with the world's smallest violin thing. Doesn't he do the violin?
No, it's like he's accusing Michael J. Fox of like... doing spilling shit, shaking up a can of soda on purpose, or like something like
but
that.
But doesn't it end with like Michael J. Fox is giving a speech and Larry's like doing the world's smallest violin like that, thing or something? Yeah. Anyway,
it's so
that's been our review of that episode of
through like a whole season almost.
Yeah, right.
I guess my last question, because this episode fucking got some good content, is like. In your experience after working at Matunic Oyster Bar and Coast Guard House, did you like feel cocky working anywhere else?
All right. Because
it's like, there were times after leaving the establishment where I was like, I don't want to say, like, I was definitely humbled. Like, when I went to New York, that's a whole different thing. Yeah. But, like, you know, sometimes you walk into a job where you're like, all right, like,
I'm
the top dog. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, I worked at a real restaurant.
Not to be, you know, a complete douche, but.
No, I mean, I feel like, too, in Rhode Island, we have a lot of great restaurants. And, like, some of them, like, some of the best ones are in Newport or in Providence. Mm-hmm. So, like, and it's very common to, like, you know, shift staff around the state. So, like, you might see someone, you might go out to a bar in Providence and, like, you've only worked in Southern Rhode Island and you see one of your coworkers working there.
It's like me.
And it's just like, all right, you know, like, that's just how it is, especially in Rhode Island, especially in the industry. But I feel like the current place I work at, we've had people who have, you know, worked at nice places like Persimmon and Gracie's and like some of the top dogs. And sometimes they can come off that way, especially, you know, in certain situations where like maybe they can't handle a certain crowd and they're like, well, I don't know, like, you know, or maybe something, maybe the kitchen is just completely off and like they just think that they know everything that's in the industry altogether.
Sure.
But I try to just not compare it because every restaurant is different. Like even though Matunic and Coast Guard are kind of like the two top in the Southern Rhode Island.
Well, I just meant from like a volume standpoint.
I
hate, this is my beef with the Matunic Oyster Bar, is that everyone in South County thinks it's the best restaurant and it's not. Like food wise, cuisine wise, it's just not.
I mean,
it's probably in South County, like top five, but
especially when you're including the whole experience, like you're saying with like, you pull up, there's a valet and like, you got the nice view and it's like the raw bar. That's like farm. Like they own,
I guess,
the
I'm
oyster
just,
farm.
I'm just talking food.
Yeah.
Food and drinks.
Yeah.
What you're consuming.
Yeah. I don't ever like think like
it's New Wave Kitchen's number one, baby. Yeah,
straight up.
Yeah, I don't ever think like, oh, I've worked at some of the best restaurants in Rhode Island. Because sometimes people will say that. And like, I don't come right out and say that right away.
Yeah, Because if you then say Coast Guard House, if it's unique oyster parts, people might laugh at you. If you say you've worked at some of the best restaurants in Rhode Island.
Yeah. And especially.
I mean, those aren't like two bad restaurants, but it's like if that was the only two restaurants you were referring to, it'd be like, all right, well, okay, chill out a little bit.
Yeah. And like also, too, like some, and like I do hold that back because some people are like, well, damn, like you were those two places because that's how like highly respected and reviewed they are.
They are.
But like in the place I work at now, it's just a little gastropub. It's nothing. It's nothing insane. It's just it's under the bridge in East Providence.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you want to plug it real quick? Should we plug where you work right now?
Sure. The Black Duck Tavern, and we actually are owned by Comedy Connection as well. So I work at both places, which is pretty. It's a fun gig.
Yeah, that's gonna be great.
I get to meet what's her name? Oh my god. Oh my god, what is her name?
Oh, Amy Schumer.
Ellen DeGeneres.
No. Why are those the first two? Why did you think Ellen?
I'm working the show tomorrow night. I can't remember it.
The girl from Broad City.
There's two.
She was...
Good call.
Fuck.
The one that, the one that tore stand-up.
Oh, my God. She's from Mass. She... why am I not remembering right now?
What age range?
Fuck. I'm just going to look it up. Sorry, real quick. I just can't remember. She's got like six sold out shows. Jenny Slate.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yes, yes, yes.
I'm working the Jenny Slate show tomorrow night. And like, she's like a, I'd say like a comedian residency going on right now. Like she's had like sporadic shows and stuff. She's trying out some stuff before she films her Netflix special, which is pretty cool.
That's awesome.
It won't be here. It'll be in Boston that she films it. Mm-hmm. But like, I mean, Tracy Morgan has come through.
The lesser New England city? That's where she's going? Okay, fine.
Wow. Yeah, Max thinks that Providence over Boston in terms of best New England city.
All day. Portland over Boston, too.
Wow, yeah, I was going to say.
I haven't even been there, but probably Burlington, too.
Yeah, Burlington.
Oh, my God.
Concord, New Hampshire is steaming right now. They're so pissed.
No, Boston is...
You're a Boston fan?
I love Providence, but Boston is my favorite city.
Wow.
Sheesh.
You heard it here, ladies and gents.
Third favorite is Portland.
Which one?
Portland, Maine.
Okay.
Fourth favorite is Burlington.
You don't like Providence that much, huh?
Second favorite.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
God, you can't fucking count?
Yeah, my bad. No.
God, how embarrassing.
Can you guys teach me?
You're a bartender. Can you not count pours?
Ooh. Oh, got me. Yeah.
Well, the Negroni is simple for him because it's one part.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Ooh. I had some guests order just a sweet vermouth neat.
Isn't that from like... Never mind. Isn't that the drink from like Groundhog Day or something? The guy from... He's like... Sweet vermouth, twist of lemon. I forget what that's from, but it's like the guy drinks sweet vermouth and a twist of lemon. It's disgusting. Anyway.
Terrible.
That about does it, bro.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for... Did we not thank Jerry for coming on before we ended the show? I don't think we thanked him.
And this episode's coming out before...
Do the sound bit right now and this, edit in.
Yeah.
Well, this episode's coming out before Jerry's, too, so it's going to be confusing.
Well, no, I can... it's whatever. I can edit it out. But
stay tuned for Jerry.
I don't think we...
We will next time.
Anyway, we're going to thank you. So thank you so much, Kerry, for coming on. You had some great insight into the industry itself.
Yeah.
And, it sounds like we more dropped the ball on the tuna oyster bar a little bit, but... You definitely told us some, like, confirmed some of our thoughts about it.
Mm-hmm. Suspicions.
Yeah, sure.
And thanks for that.
And yeah, come on. I mean, hopefully you'll come back, too, because it sounds like you probably have some more stories. And the thing with this podcast, you know, like, everyone comes on and then they leave and they're like, fuck, I should have said this story. Yeah. Fuck, I forgot about
it. It's really everybody's second appearance, really.
Yeah. Oh, I would love to. I mean, since I worked at Applebee's only for 9 months, I didn't sign an NDA. I can totally sling around a...
Yeah, we need to hear more about eating good in the neighborhood.
What was the deal at Applebee's for a while? Was it like $1 margaritas? Oh, Jesus Christ.
I'll get into that eventually.
We'll do that
next. That's a teaser for next time.
Anyway, I'm Max Messier-Richter.
I'm Dan Cotter.
I'm Kerry Tallman.
And this is the Rags Delicious Podcast.
Oh, my God.
Stories from the kitchen.